Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe here with you this weekend. Always happy to be here with you all. And this is such a wonderful show to be doing on my Saturday afternoons. Anyway, the Silk or Joe Show is a Main Street Radio Network production, so I want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to exist, even if it is on a Saturday afternoon. Oh, it's so nice outside where I am. Anyway, you can find out about them on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com, assuming you're not out enjoying the weather. But even if you are, just whip out your cell phone right there in public around all your friends and ignore them and go to MainStreetRadioNetwork.com or check them out on Facebook at Main Street Radio Network or on Twitter at Main Street Radio. Or you can check us out on Wimkin, W-I-M-K-I-N, at Main Street Radio Network, or on Getter, G-E-T-T-R.com, at Silk or Joe Show. And then, of course, while you're doing all of that, you've already ruined your friend's afternoon anyway by playing this show very loudly in public, by checking out the websites and all that stuff. So you might as well just check out the Alan Nathan Show as well, because they are on MainStreetRadioNetwork.com. I guest host sometimes for them, like last week, and they're also on alannathan.com and on Twitter at alannathan. And again, they can also be found on Wimkin under the Main Street Radio Network banner whenever I remember to do social media posts for that show. I admit I really am terrible at remembering to do those. Anyway, on to this program. Not the Alan Nathan Show, the Silk or Joe Show. Earlier this week, there was some testimony Monday from an FBI agent. Now let's hear how the liberal media reports on it. New York Times headline, FBI agent undercuts claims of political interference in Hunter Biden inquiry. CNN headline, FBI agent contests whistleblower claims in Hunter Biden case. Headline from The Hill, FBI official refutes top GOP claims on Hunter Biden. Washington Post, senior FBI agent disputes some whistleblower's claims. You know, it's kind of interesting that all those headlines would happen, especially when they did, because that's about the same day that the Biden administration sent a letter to these news outlets telling them to smear Republicans, go after them, around the time that the impeachment inquiry was started. But here's the thing about this particular story that they are being so authoritative on in their headlines. The FBI agent actually said he had no clue what he was talking about. He undermined his own ability to say the central reason behind the headline is we had an IRS whistleblower, just some background here, a while ago who came out and said, yeah, it was very political, this probe into the Biden family and all that. Very political. Our hands were tied. Joe Biden's lawyers were notified hours before searches were done of his property, and that, you know, gave him plenty of time to clean up anything that might have been incriminating that they would have found. Stuff that just would not have been tolerated with Trump, for example. However, with Biden, it was par for the course because, according to this whistleblower, again, it was a very political situation with this case going after Hunter Biden. So all these left-wing outlets and The Hill were perfectly happy to publish how the FBI, they sent an agent into Congress who bravely refuted the testimony of this terrible, evil IRS whistleblower. Except, again, the FBI agent who claimed to refute this, who claimed it, and who said that nothing political was done, this was not done in a political matter, this pursuit of Hunter Biden, he actually said he didn't know what he was talking about. He admitted that in the testimony, something that you don't hear in these headlines that I just read. There's nothing wishy-washy or waffling about The Hill's headline, FBI official refutes top GOP claims on Hunter Biden, or FBI agent contests whistleblower claims in Hunter Biden case, or FBI agent undercuts claims of political interference in a Hunter Biden inquiry from the New York Times. That one is spot on, most definitively trying to say that this FBI agent is trying to say that there was nothing political about it and that he should be believed, except what probably isn't even published in the piece. I don't know, I don't subscribe to him, so I can't read it. Or at least what they probably bury halfway down if it is included is that the agent said he didn't have any idea about the case at all. He undermined, again, his own ability to say that it wasn't a political interference, that there was no political interference. When you say, I don't know what happened, but it totally wasn't political, whatever it was that I don't know, or when you say, I can't speak to this or that, but trust me, it didn't happen, how much credibility do you really have? That's like saying, I don't know what's causing this weird natural phenomenon, but it has to be humans. I can't say how I know, but trust me that I do. I'm an authority. you know, we've heard that before. And the Biden, when the Biden administration admitted that they were lying to us back when we heard this before, too. Remember, right before Russia invaded Ukraine, the Biden administration was out saying that they knew Russia would invade sometime soon and said, just trust them. We can't give you the sources. We are the source. That is why it's a reliable source. We are the source. Just trust us. That was actually, they actually said that in an exchange. The spokesperson said, I'm the source. Trust me. When a reporter from the Associated Press was asking him for the source on why they think Russia will invade Ukraine, the White House spokesperson just said, trust me, I'm the source, and you're hearing about it from me. That makes it official. It's a real thing. Weeks later, months later, after Russia invaded Ukraine, the Biden administration came out to, like, CBS or something and said, oh yeah, we were lying about all that. We had no clue. So now they're saying, now this FBI agent wants us to do the same thing. Just trust me on it. He's probably lying, let's be honest. So, also the science example that I used, that happened too. There was some doctor idiot somewhere that looked at pictures of the Earth and said that because some parts of the oceans looked greener in newer pictures, that must mean humans did it. This person said in their research paper that was published in some prominent journal or whatever, they said they had no clue what was going on. They didn't know what the green stuff was. No idea about it whatsoever, but humans must be responsible for it for some reason or other. So if that passes for science among Democrats, and it passes for truth even when the Biden administration admits they are lying, this sort of rely on my authority even though I'm totally BSing this, I guess it's no wonder that leftist and anti-Trump news outlets authoritatively state in their headlines that because an FBI agent who said he doesn't know anything and can't talk about a matter also claims to know something that about the thing that he says he doesn't know about. So, more importantly, though, why is the media carrying water for the FBI? I seem to recall the same media thinking that the FBI was like the Gestapo or something back in the Bush years, and now it's still the same people in charge. Nothing changed. And here's the exact quote, by the way, from the FBI agent. Quote, it's just, you're asking me to infer on a matter that I wasn't specifically involved in at that time. I don't know all the facts surrounding it, and so it's very difficult to make that inference. And that is when they asked him if it was political that the FBI notified Biden's lawyers in advance of the raid on his home, hours in advance, giving him, again, enough time to clear out anything incriminating from that home. So, you can't comment on that because you weren't there, you don't know, but you can totally say there was no politics involved. Really? What? Was he winking or smiling knowingly when he said all this stuff, or when he said that he was certain that there were no politics involved? There's no politics involved. Wink. And I admit, transcripts don't convey tone. He could have said it like that, but the transcript would read, there's no politics involved. Maybe that's why this was closed door testimony and only certain parts of the transcript are available. But there's sure enough for the pro-Biden DNC-ran media to say that the IRS whistleblower was debunked. Just leave out that part about the FBI agent saying he has no clue from his butt from a hole in the ground on the topic. Or hide it in the very bottom when people stop reading. So, you know, it's the Biden administration after all. Why would they lie? It's not like this is a major scandal involving the president's son that could lead straight to him. Oh, wait. Maybe not. Now, seriously, if this were Trump, Democrats wouldn't have bothered with an impeachment inquiry. They'd have already voted to impeach him. You saw what they did with that Ukraine matter, where you just had that phone call where you had a partial transcript and there was nothing in there, but they decided to vote on impeachment anyway. And right there in the impeachment hearing in the Senate, they're saying they needed more time for evidence, to gather evidence, as if they weren't the ones themselves that rushed it. So if this were Trump, it would have been a totally different matter. The Democrats would be all on board and the FBI wouldn't have any credibility whatsoever. They probably would accuse the Trump administration of sending the FBI to lie to Congress. But it's the Bidens, so there's nothing crooked about them. Except that Joe Biden just loves his son too much. That's what they're running with right now. They're saying that all this corruption, appearance of corruption, happened because Joe Biden just loves his son too much. And it just so happened that any time he called to check in on his son, it was during a business meeting with a bunch of people, and suddenly bank accounts would be filled the next day. It's just all a coincidence. There's no evidence here. It's all just shadows and phantoms in a vast right-wing conspiracy, I guess. Even though there is far more evidence here of Biden corruption than there is of anything going on with Trump, hence the impeachment inquiry. Now, as to the impeachment inquiry itself, the reason why it's going the way it it's because that they have plenty of circumstantial evidence, but they need to see certain records that were not otherwise available and probably would not have been made available unless they did the impeachment query. Now, this is not a vote on impeachment. It's just an inquiry to see if there's grounds to make a vote. So for all we know, this is not going to go anywhere. It's just the red meat to throw at the base. Who knows? Maybe next year, toward September or whatever, they'll say, oh, well, you need to vote for Republicans in order to get this impeachment to happen. Maybe they're going to make it a campaign issue, fundraise off of it, because that's what the Republicans do best. You know, they suck at election integrity. They won't even pursue the matter. They suck at actually combating Democrats, but when it comes to fundraising off of, you know, helpless marks, well, you know what? They are great at that. That's been their business model for over a decade now. Folks, more Silker Joe Show after this break.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal, disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal, disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
Come get back to school ready with me and the brands I've partnered with. ThredUp is a one-stop shop where you can clean out your closet and buy affordable, sustainable secondhand clothing. Go to ThredUp.com/cleanout, order their signature polka dot bag or print a shipping label, and send ThredUp your gently worn items. They'll do all the work to resell your items. Target has all the national brands that you are looking for, and with deals starting at just $1, Target has all the back-to-school and back-to-college essentials you'll need. From T-Mobile, pick up a free 5G smartphone like the exclusive Rebel 6 Pro 5G or the award-winning Sync Up Kids Watch for free. Fairlife ultra-filtered milk is a great-tasting source of nutrition for families like mine. With 50% more protein and 50% less sugar than regular milk, Fairlife's 14-ounce bottles offer great-tasting, nutrition-rich products made to enjoy on the go. For more information on these brands, visit their websites.
Sponsored by Office Depot Office Max. It's back to school season, and teachers, parents, and students from kindergarten to college can find everything they need to succeed at Office Depot Office Max. With savings up to 60% on the company's best-selling school supplies through September 16th. And must-haves like Crayola products, spiral notebooks, composition books, and glue starting at just 50 cents, Office Depot Office Max is ready to kick the new school year into gear. Shoppers can get even more discounts and earn rewards towards future purchases with a free Office Depot Office Max Rewards membership. Need your school supplies fast? Customers can take advantage of the company's free 20-minute in-store pickup or opt for same-day delivery for qualifying orders. Office Depot and Office Max stores are supporting hundreds of Title I public schools across the country with an in-store donation program. Make a donation at checkout to help a local school in your community get new supplies to create a more productive learning environment. Visit officedepot.com/back to school.
Moms know it's the little things that matter most. A kiss for skinned knees, a hug for hurt feelings, and the small acts that keep families healthy. Many moms before me have seen serious diseases claim the health and lives of their families. Mine was affected by polio. Today, vaccinations for polio and many other diseases can help protect adults and children, generation after generation, mom after mom. Learn more about how to help keep your family healthy at vaccines.com.
Adopt US Kids presents multiple choice parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Give a little talking to man, mano a mano. Hey, Steve, it's now a good time? No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. We are now joined by Carter Clues to talk about the impeachment matter. He is president of the Constitutional Rights PAC. Carter, happy to have you on the program. How are you today?
I'm well, Joseph. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, happy to have you. So what's your first impression about this impeachment inquiry? They're just still in the gathering evidence phase, I guess. But what do you make of it? Is it a positive step, at least?
I think it's a positive step. But, Joseph, do you remember the Ella Fitzgerald song, Paper Moon? Probably long before your time.
A little bit.
There's a great line in there where she refers to the song and she says, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. Okay? I think that's what we're going to end up with. A melody played in a penny arcade. Teeny, tiny, fairly meaningless. I think that's what we're looking at. I'm sorry. I do. I hate to say it, but I do.
Well, the House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, he seemed to be dragged kicking and screaming into even doing this much to authorize at least the Republicans some more leeway in gathering evidence on Joe Biden. But even if this does unfortunately make it to the Senate, well, we've had Republican congressmen come out and say that they wouldn't support this. And then we've had, of course, in the Senate, you need a 66 senator vote or 67 vote in order to impeach a president. So I don't see the Democrats, no matter what evidence is found, siding with it.
No. And we saw today Mitt Romney, who, thank God, is finally leaving. We saw him today say, oh, there's nothing there. There's no evidence there. And let me tell you, think about this for a second. Well, as far as the Senate goes, then we can get back to McCarthy. But when Joe was first elected, I had a friend who was at the Capitol Hill Club. That's where all the hoity-toity politicians hang out. And she was walking in the door when McConnell's wife came out and ran into a friend of hers and said, oh, we're so thrilled that Joe won. He and Mitch have been friends forever. Duh. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I probably should have seen that coming. Actually, one of the news outlets came out the other day and said that with Mitch McConnell sick, Joe Biden just lost one of his biggest allies.
Yeah. If Mitch goes down, which I think he is, and with Mitt leaving, the Republicans might be able to pick up two seats in the Senate next time around. I mean, that's how bad these guys are. But keep in mind with McCarthy, he is very much like Paul Ryan. You know, I was talking years ago, a couple years back, with Louie Gohmert, one of the great congressmen in history, in my opinion. And Gohmert told me every time we tried to do something that would move the conservative cause forward, Paul Ryan would block it. Okay? I think McCarthy's the same. Joseph, remember, Kevin McCarthy has never had a real job in his life. He has always been a political hack at one level or another. That's it. That says it all.
He's in there in the Friends Club there. He probably figures that if he does too much to advance his cause, then the other side might punish him when they gain power, and he might lose out on contracts or influential friends or something, for all we know, because that's his world.
That's his world, and it always has been. And I think, you know, when they put him in, the die was cast. I think he'll go through the motions. Again, it's a melody played and a penny arcade. That's what we're going to see here. They'll go through the motions. Look, what is all this stuff about? We're going to launch an impeachment inquiry. Do you remember how long it took Nancy Pelosi to impeach Trump twice? Twice.
Yeah, she did that in less than a year. In fact, the first impeachment, she rushed it so much that even when it was before the Senate, the Democrats were asking for more time to get evidence.
And the second one, I think, took 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's it. Impeach the guy. Do it. And here's part of our problem, Joseph, in my opinion. the Republicans need to understand, as this impeachment, whatever they're going to do, unfolds, the mainstream media is not going to cover it properly. They're going to cover up instead of cover. That's number one, including Fox. The social media is going to censor any honest discussion of what Joe Biden has done. And Google is going to adjust their algorithm so that when you Google the Biden impeachment, all the articles that come up for the first four or five pages are going to be how wonderful Joe is and how bogus the impeachment is. That means the Republicans, if they're serious, need to right now establish their own podcast network. They need a massive campaign to appear daily on radio shows like yours. They need a media offensive, and they're not going to do it. They're right. Not going to.
Yeah, it just seems like they're just really half-heartedly into this, even with the announcement of their impeachment inquiry. You know, like I said, it just seemed to be McCarthy was dragged kicking and screaming into it, and I can't imagine that the RNC is going to do anything except try to fundraise off of it. And who knows, by this time next year, they might be saying, hey, re-elect us and we'll actually impeach him, as if he's going to win the election hands down.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. Look, last night when I went to bed, after I read that Mitt Romney had decided to retire, my fervent prayer to God was that he take Rona McDaniel, his niece at the RNC, with him, because she has been a catastrophe. If she worked for you, you would have fired her 10 times over.
Well, it depends on what job I assigned her. If I assigned her to soak up money and line my pocket, I think she's doing a great job with that. But as if I wanted her to actually run a political party, not so much.
Excellent. I mean, it goes back to, do you want to win? Do you want to win? You know, I'm a big fan of guys like Andrew Tate and David Goggins and Jocko Willink. And these people make it clear, if you want to win, you fight like hell. And the Republicans don't. And what does that tell you?
Yeah. And they use such lame excuses, too, that Democrats never abide by. You know, Democrats never fear media criticism. Just look at what the New Mexico governor is doing right now. Even Democrat media is against her, but she's still powering on through it. And she doesn't give a darn. Very bold of her. I'll give the Democrats this. They are happy to proceed with whatever they want to do. They don't let anything stop them. Republicans, they look for excuses to not do anything.
Yeah. That the Democrats step up to give credit where credit's due. As my mother used to say, give the devil his due. They get out there and they fight for what they believe. I mean, you saw Psaki on her, what is she, CNN, wherever that awful person is.
MSNBC.
MSNBC say comparing unborn babies to broccoli, garbage in your broccoli, and chunks of coal that you want to wrap up and throw away. I mean, that's how strident they are, while our side keeps backing off on every front. And I'm afraid that's what they're going to do on this impeachment hearing. They're going to be very timid, very tepid, and take a long time and maybe never even come to a vote. Before it's too late.
Yeah, might end up just being our own Mueller probe, where we'll have a year of alleged leaks and alleged findings that are behind closed doors because they can't be revealed yet, only for nothing to come of it. Carter Clues, president of Constitutional Rights PAC, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe show today. And listeners, we have more coming up after this break.
This Men's Health Month, we encourage men to take care of their largest organ, their skin. Plaque psoriasis is a common skin disease that may appear as raised and scaling red plaques anywhere on the body, like the knees and elbows and even private and sensitive areas like the groin, genitals, between the buttocks and armpits. Symptoms can include pain, cracking skin, and itching. While it occurs equally among men and women, several studies have shown that men tend to have more severe plaque psoriasis. Chad Cragen was diagnosed nearly 20 years ago with plaque psoriasis, affecting multiple areas of his body, including his elbows, knees, and between his buttocks. Chad is sharing his story to encourage other men to talk to their healthcare provider about their symptoms and learn about a steroid-free treatment option that may be able to help.
When I was first diagnosed, I walked out of my dermatologist's office with five different tubes and bottles of topical medicine, to use on different parts of my body. Managing so many treatments, all with different instructions for different body parts, made my treatment routine confusing and time-consuming. Recently, I started using a steroid-free cream, Zoryve, roflumilast cream, that has simplified the management of my psoriasis, as I can use it anywhere on my body. I apply it once daily for my flare-ups, and it's really helped manage my symptoms by clearing my skin and reduce my pain and itch too. I also like the cream because it's not greasy or messy. It spreads easily, and I just need to apply a small amount to the area of my body where there are plaques. I think a lot of men with plaque psoriasis, especially if they have it in more private areas, may not bring it up with their healthcare provider. I encourage them to go talk to their provider and learn about the latest treatment options. And don't be afraid to have your healthcare provider examine your full body, because psoriasis may look and feel different depending on location. With the appropriate treatment regimen, things can change.
Zoryve is a prescription medicine used on the skin, topical, including in areas with skin folds to treat plaque psoriasis in people 12 years of age and older. It is not known if Zoryve is safe and effective in children under 12 years of age. Before taking Zoryve, tell your healthcare provider if you have liver problems and about the medicines you take. Do not use Zoryve in or on your eyes, mouth, or vagina. Tell your healthcare provider if you are pregnant, breastfeeding, or plan to be. It is not known if Zoryve will harm your unborn baby. The most common side effects of Zoryve are diarrhea, headache, trouble sleeping, nausea, application site pain, upper respiratory tract infections, and urinary tract infections. These are not all of the possible side effects of Zoryve. Talk to your healthcare provider to find out if Zoryve is right for you. For more information about plaque psoriasis and Zoryve, a steroid-free topical that works across affected body areas, talk to your healthcare provider or visit www.zoryve.com. That's Zoryve.com. Sponsored by Arcutis Biotherapeutics.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Because the Supreme Court last year totally changed what we're allowed to do, what you're allowed to do. And they said, unless you can base it in the history and tradition, you don't have grounds to do something like this. The New Mexico Constitution, I looked last night, Article 2, Section 6 says this, quote, no law shall abridge the right of citizens to keep and bear arms for security and defense. No municipality or county shall regulate in any way any incident of the right to keep and bear arms. Are you not in violation of both the U.S. Constitution and your state's constitution?
I don't believe that we are. And if that narrow reading of the Constitution, which has been tested in the state, we wouldn't have universal background checks. We wouldn't have a waiting period. We wouldn't have a red flag law. We wouldn't have prohibitions for straw purchases. None of those would have been deemed constitutional. And today, all of them are.
They were before the Supreme Court
ruled that. Right discussions. Fair, but they haven't been tested again. And it calls for immediate and swift and bold action. And frankly, the evidence bears out over and over again. Fewer guns on the streets makes everyone safer. And I'm focused on everyone's constitutional rights, not just those the NRA says I should be focused on.
Yeah, it's not just the NRA. Here's one other concern from the sheriff. Here's what he told my colleague Caitlin Collins last night.
Do you really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No.
All right. So that was both clips are from CNN, although one of those, the second one, I did edit it poorly, so pardon me for that. But basically what happened was, it was from CNN's This Morning with Poppy Harlow. She's talking with New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham about her move to ban open and concealed carry in public spaces in a small town in New Mexico for 30 days. Now, she had apparently no authority to do this sort of thing. She claimed it was a public health emergency. Hey, that's the kind of thing we've been warning you about, hasn't it? That the government would use the excuse of a public health emergency to implement radical green policies or anti-Second Amendment policies or any policy they care to, especially after we let them get away with locking us up in COVID, imprisoning us in our own homes for the sake of public health. So, with that precedent, actually, in the first clip, the governor says, I think we can get away with it. I think we have legal authority to do this. And even though she defended herself rather pathetically in that interview, and surprisingly CNN's Poppy Harlow was not being a partisan activist like CNN hosts are and cheerleading. Actually, the left has had a somewhat negative reception to what the governor did. I guess she took too big of a step too soon for what their plans were. So... but what the governor, she actually had sort of the gem of an idea of a defense for what she did, because the Supreme Court did rule that if your anti-gun law is not in keeping with a long-standing tradition in your whatever jurisdiction you're in, then you can't do it because it would violate the Second Amendment. And that was sort of their way of saying we can keep the gun laws we have on the books, but the newer ones have to pass higher scrutiny. The problem is, though, that what the governor did actually kind of is in keeping with tradition when you combine it with not just the Second Amendment violations that are being racked up, but also when you combine it with the abuse of public health emergency. It very much is in tradition now of the law that you can limit people's constitutional rights in the name of a public health crisis. That's been established. We had, in some places, years of that happen. So, actually, she might have a very valid defense there. However, she did not pursue it on that level. Instead, she just kind of waffled through the interview. And then you heard another point in the interview where she's talking about how, well, all this stuff that we're doing, all these measures that were taken to ban people from being able to exercise their Second Amendment rights, that's actually in the name of protecting everyone's constitutional rights. First of all, is she even listening to what she's saying? But second of all, right after that, CNN was kind enough, actually, even though they didn't put it together in this concise of a manner. I had to do some editing to make it all work. That's why I said it was badly edited, because I missed the spot. But at some other point in the interview, they played a clip where an unidentified reporter had asked her point blank, do you think that this rule that you have banning guns in public will keep criminals, you know, the people who are actually doing the shootings and stuff, from carrying guns? And she says, nah, I don't think so. So she admits that this is not protecting anyone's rights by limiting the amount of guns in public. In fact, it's abridging people's rights to carry, and the criminals, they don't give a darn. They're going to carry them no matter what. And she even admits that. So it actually makes people less safe, what she's doing. It protects fewer rights. But that's just the kind of wacky logic that's going on in her head about this situation, where she admits openly that, yes, criminals are going to carry their guns. So that just means fewer good guys with guns in public. And yes, various studies have shown that the good guy with the gun actually does stop the bad guy with the gun. The media doesn't like reporting on that because it's very inconvenient to their anti-gun narrative, but it does happen a lot. With such frequency that even Bloomberg in 2012, you know, the outlet ran by the anti-gun mayor Mike Bloomberg, they came out and said, yeah, it actually turns out we have to grudgingly admit that the good guy with the gun saves the day quite a lot more than the bad guy with the gun ruins the day. So, with that said, this governor kind of is an idiot, but again, there is that germ of a very dangerous idea in her, you know, fertilizer that she was spewing out, that, in fact, this could be considered intradition of the laws just because of how much tyranny we've already tolerated. So if she says, well, during the pandemic, we did all this stuff here to limit people's rights, First Amendment rights, and all that sort of thing, the right to gather, for example, peaceably assemble, then because we can limit the First Amendment rights under this thing, we can limit any constitutional rights under public health crisis. So we can do this. We're justified. We have the tradition established by years of lockdowns and mask mandates forcing people to wear certain items of clothing, i.e. the masks, and stuff like that. So that tradition for tyranny is established. And if they pursue this in court, that will be a roadmap for other districts. And another thing to worry about, too, is simple attrition. This, of course, Republicans aren't going to be pushing back on this at the government level using taxpayer dollars. It's only going to be a couple of private organizations. So entirely, this will be the government backed by your taxpayer dollars that you will have to sue in order to reclaim the rights that the government is supposed to be granting you. Naturally, that's why they're called natural rights, human rights. That's why the founders specifically made these, you know, the First and Second Amendments, the right to gather, peaceably assemble, say what you care to, and possess firearms to back it up in case someone has a problem with you, someone like the government. So if we, since we're allowing the government to abuse these rights and abuse it with our own taxpayer money, well, that means they have effectively an infinite source of income in order to keep this case going in court for years. You, on the other hand, you don't have that kind of money on hand. What are you going to do to resist this sort of tyranny when it happens? You can't take them in the court. You got like five pennies to your name compared to the government's, what the government has, relatively speaking. Gee whiz, you'd have to be like a millionaire or something in order to effectively pose a challenge to the government. And they can easily bleed you dry. Just keep the case delayed and delayed and delayed, and then throw random bits of paperwork at you for that entire time so that you have to keep a lawyer employed. And that will bleed you dry. And sooner enough, the government gets away with what they want, and you are bankrupt for trying to resist them. That is a tried-and-true tactic. They did it to General Mike Flynn, even though the FBI agents that were sent to interview him said he didn't do anything wrong. The government decided that he did do something wrong, so they prosecuted him until he was bankrupt, and just trying to defend himself. So if that just trying to defend yourself, you can go bankrupt. Imagine what the government's going to do to you if you're actively trying to protect your rights that the government doesn't think you should have, such as Second Amendment rights. And also, this goes to this other idea that this governor said, where she thinks that somehow she's protecting rights by stopping law-abiding citizens from carrying firearms. That makes no sense, especially in light of her acknowledging that criminals are just going to ignore it anyway. So who's... there are no rights being protected in this situation. She's only stripping people of rights. And it's odd that she doesn't see that, but, well, actually, it's not odd. It's entirely a nature of the partisanship that's going on in this country, where she just thinks it's a good idea and probably is surrounded by yes-men and is totally blind to what's actually happening, even when she apparently sees what's happening. I don't live in New Mexico, so is there, like, something in the water? What made them elect this person anyway? Surely there's a Democrat who's at least smarter or more capable of defending themselves in a verbal battle that wouldn't sound like a raving idiot like this person did. You just have to wonder about some things, I guess. And there is a warning here, too. She did it. Sure, there was backlash, but she's still continuing to do it. And CNN's Poppy Harlow... in a clip that I didn't get, she said, she asked the governor point blank, are you going to keep doing this? You know, after 30 days pass, are you going to renew it again and again? And the governor did not answer that. She diverted. She just went into some spiel about nothing really related to the question. So that begs the question, how long is she going to keep this up? Sure, there's been courts that are saying that she should stop it, but really, is she going to... If she doesn't listen to the Constitution, is she going to listen to those courts, right? So, not just the United States Constitution, but New Mexico's state constitution. So we'll see where this plays to, but right now it looks like more like a blueprint on how to win by attrition by forcing lawsuits than anything else. And on the one hand, the government is taxing you to pay for it to steal your rights, and on the other hand, you have to pay to get your rights back. You'll lose either way. More Silk or Dish after this break.
Rockstar Energy is jumpstarting the summer you want with the energy you need, giving away $50,000 to fuel your Memorial Day weekend. Millions of Americans are eager to kick off the holiday weekend with a travel getaway. In fact, experts predict 82% of summer travel will be by car. And with high gas prices, 89% will be looking for travel rewards, which is why Rockstar Energy wants to help you save at the pump and stay energized to get to your next destination. Here's how it works. Throughout Memorial Day weekend, the first 1,000 people to stop by any gas station, buy three Rockstar Energy products, and fuel up on gas or electric charge will get up to $50 cash back. Text ENERGY to 81234 to find out more. The rewards don't stop there. All summer long, you can earn up to $5 cash back when you buy two Rockstar Energy products and fill up at any gas station. To find out more, text ROCKSTAR to 81234. Let Rockstar fuel your drive this summer. I'm Kendra Wright.
In 2021, New York Times bestselling author Victoria Aveyard introduced Realmbreaker, the first book in an epic fantasy adventure series. Realmbreaker and its highly anticipated sequel, Bladebreaker, both debuted at number one on the New York Times bestsellers list. Now, readers can enjoy Bladebreaker in paperback. The fight for Allward is far from over. Queen Erida continues her march through Allward, crumbling castles and conquering kingdoms with an unstoppable army. To raise an army of their own, Corraine and her companions face perilous lands, dangerous mercenaries, and seething monsters. But will they be strong enough to confront the latest evil that Queen Erida has unlocked? Author Victoria Aveyard.
Bladebreaker has all the twists and turns, magic and action that readers enjoyed from Realmbreaker. This time, the fate of the world is at stake, and Corraine must defeat Queen Erida's wicked forces to become the hero she's destined to be.
Bladebreaker is now available in paperback, wherever books are sold.
Recent news reports are raising the alarm about illegal disposable vapes in kid-enticing flavors that are pouring in from China. Here's Fentanyl Fathers co-founder Greg Swan.
I lost my firstborn son, Drew, to an overdose, a tragedy no parent should experience. The FDA has started taking action against illegal disposable vapes that could contain deadly fentanyl. Now, they need to get every one of these out of our communities.
Sponsored by Fentanyl Fathers.
What is dadication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Heart valve disease is more common than you or your doctor may think, especially as you get older. It's serious but treatable with the proper diagnosis. If you or a loved one are experiencing shortness of breath, fatigue, chest tightness or pressure, dizziness or fainting, talk to your doctor and ask for an echocardiogram to get diagnosed early and enjoy your best quality of life. Learn more at askforecho.com. That's ask, the number 4, echo.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs, and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back to the Silk or Joe Show, everybody. Thank you for sticking with us through this hour. In the last 10 minutes here, we are joined by Diane Betterman. She is a Canadian author, speaker, and journalist whose work has appeared in outlets such as LifeSite News and The Huffington Post. Her latest book, Bullies of Woke and Their Assault on Mental Health, is available now on Amazon and on NewEnglishReview.org. Diane Betterman, happy to have you on the show. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you.
Well, glad to have you, but you know, this topic here, not so glad about it, kind of implies that we're going to have a return to masks soon, and there are a lot of radicals out there who are in favor of it. And they're beating up anti-mask people in the streets now, apparently, at least in Canada. And I thought Canadians were supposed to be polite.
That's the funniest thing that you said. Yes, Canadians are so polite that if I bump into you, the person who does the bumping, the person who got bumped apologizes for being bumped. I'd like to suggest that what we're witnessing is something called industrialized bullying, which I wrote about in the book that you mentioned. Industrialized bullying is different from when kids bully on the playground where you just sort of get the kid to cry or, you know, fall down. Industrialized bullying is the type of bullying that never ends until you, the bullied, bend the knee and submit to false gods. And that's what happened during COVID. And that kind of bullying can lead to an unidentified anxiety from the fear. You don't realize how anxious you are until it's attacked again. So here you have people like our Dr. Tam, and you've got Fauci back again talking about COVID coming back and the need for masks and now COVID shots. Because these people have been so traumatized by the bullying, they jump right away and do what they're told. And that's how tyranny takes place, when you bully enough people that they get together and tyrannize the majority. But what's happening here with the masks, people are now demanding masks in hospitals. I understand that Rutgers and a few other universities are demanding that people wear masks. And all of this is the result of that fear from the constant bullying.
Yeah, fortunately, one group that's speaking out, Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, they've warned against mask mandates coming back in. They talk, and there's also the Cochrane study, for example, which actually recently was forced to retract some of its findings. But originally, it was like a study of studies, and they found among all the mask studies that there was no real evidence that whatever type of mask you were wearing, it actually did any good, at least against COVID. But then they were forced to retract some of these findings, specifically because of the type of bullying you're talking about.
That's correct. And I think what people don't realize is how easy it is to get someone to be so afraid that they give up critical thinking. When you think about the past few years and before that as woke took over, the last thing that the progressives want you to do is to think for yourself and ask questions. Asking questions is extremely important in the name of critical thinking, and now people are afraid to ask a question because if it doesn't agree with the tyranny, you get doxxed and canceled. And because I think of social media, too many people today want to be liked more than they want to be respected. So we're being bombarded on all sides to give up anything remotely like common sense. Here in Canada, the people that decided to put on a mask and stand in front of the hospital association, we need masks. My question would be, what are you scared of? We learned during COVID that you, the frightened, can stay home, never leave your house ever, and everything will be delivered to you. So why don't you worry about you and let me worry about me? And if you're so worried about masks, wear two, one for you and one for the person who doesn't want to wear it. And then for extra measure, put on the plastic mask as well. So you're protected. Go ahead. Good for you. But the fact that they feel that they have the right to scream at you for not wearing the mask, that's the frightening thing. And again, tyranny starts with a small group of people.
And it's ironic that they're, especially some of these activists, are picking mask wearing as the health hill to die on, when really some people should be screaming at them about the diets and poor lifestyles that they choose to lead, but somehow the mask is where they draw the line. And, you know, if you want to take a health risk, but I can't criticize you, but for this you can criticize me for taking a health risk? They don't seem to realize the hypocrisy, or they don't want to.
No, they don't want to, because what they want to do is take control. COVID was a test to see how many people would bend the knee to a false god. And that happens when you undermine the ethic, especially of America, the ethic that's based on the Hebrew Bible, that all people are born with equal intrinsic value, all life is sacred, and we have free will. Free will. We have the right to say, really, I don't agree with you. But that's been attacked for years. You destroy the ethic, people don't know any better, and once again, I hate to repeat myself, fear leads to submission to false gods. They want the entire culture turned upside down so that power is taken away from the people and given to the elites.
And they just, I guess each activist in the street is hoping that they're part of that elite, and they're totally unaware that the powers that they're giving away are going to be turned against them at some point. You know, that happens in every revolution, where some swath of activists ends up being on the wrong side of history, even though at the time when they're helping along the tyrant, they think that they're going to be safe.
That's right. History, the sad thing is we don't learn from history. We just keep repeating it. I mean, my prime minister during the height of COVID asked if we should tolerate the non-vaccinated. He used the word tolerate. That's out of the mouth of Hitler. Then you stand up and you say, should we? No, Mr. Prime Minister Trudeau, let's put them into a concentration camp. The language that was used was horrific, and yet thousands, if not millions, of people agreed with him. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Freedom is very tenuous. It has to be fought for and protected every day from tyrants, whether they're medical tyrants or political tyrants.
Yeah, and the problem is that these tyrants, you know, they're out there, and after the COVID scare wore off, they're saying, oh, we weren't very serious about it. We weren't saying everybody should be vaccinated. We weren't discriminating against the unvaccinated. But then now, and they also said we didn't favor lockdowns. It was the doctors who made the policy. But now that there's a potential to have another COVID scare, they're going right back to their authoritarian instincts.
That's correct. And the other thing that I find interesting, I'm old enough to remember before masks with COVID that we had flu seasons and cold season. Nobody wore a mask because of respiratory illnesses. Now these people that are asking for the mask because of COVID are also saying you need the mask to protect you from respiratory illness. Well, then why didn't we wear masks 50 years ago?
Because times changed, I guess, and the tyrants got more power. But Diane Betterman, appreciate you being on the Silker Joe Show today. And again, your book is Bullies of Woke and Their Assault on Mental Health, and it's available on Amazon and on newenglishreview.org. And listeners, that's all the time we have for you today. Our website is mainstreetradionetwork.com. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities, so please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.